The notes and references omitted here are available for those of you who are interested at personalpointofview.net. With that stipulation out of the way, let's get started. Abstract: leadership is a product of the dark matter in the world of organizations. Like the dark matter in the cosmos, leadership is hypothesized to exist, although its existence can, for the most part, only be inferred from actual observable conditions, events, and circumstances that include successful conclusion of leadership events. Thus, leadership actualizes as a transactional event that occurs between the leader and his or her colleagues. Putting the point in a different frame, teams and teamwork are not just the best leadership strategy, they are the only leadership strategy available to us. Dark matter. Leadership is, I think, the dark matter in the world of groups and organizations. Let me note that I'm neither an astronomer nor a cosmologist, but rely here on Wikipedia, where I learned that in astronomy and cosmology, dark matter is a type of matter hypothesized to account for a large part of the total mass in the universe. Its existence and properties are inferred in part from its gravitational effects on visible matter. Like dark matter, leadership is hypothesized to exist, although its existence can, for the most part, only be inferred from actual observables. Consider, for example, the observations of Moorhead Griffin, who posit that leadership keeps the organization properly aligned with its environment, or those of Williams, who suggests that leadership preserves and maintains essential resources of the organization. Keeping our organizations properly aligned with their environments, along with preserving and maintaining essential organizational resources, are definitely important and ought not be left to chance. Given general agreement on this point, the challenge is to specify the organizational dark matter that prevents these important elements from being left to chance. Bollman will make what I think is a variation of the same dark matter point when they suggest that leadership is not tangible, but rather exists only in relationships and in the perception of the engaged parties. Leadership's hypothetical reality notwithstanding, Owen proposes that leadership is not inert but instead emerges from the passion and responsibility of those who care, providing the critical focus and direction for the emergent organization. As we see, leadership is analogous to the astronomer's dark matter in that it theoretically exists in and of itself but also exists as an energy capable of causing or contributing to observable conditions, events, and circumstances. For example, leadership, among other outcomes, brings change and adaptability. Leadership actualization. To whatever extent the dark matter metaphor has conceptual value, it is meaningless in and of itself. As with the hypothetical dark matter of astronomy and cosmology and its relationship to gravity, leadership as organizational dark matter only suggests itself through the actions and activities of people within an organizational context. In other words, the metaphysical nature of leadership can only be observed and potentially understood as it actualizes in the actions and interactions of participants in the group or more generally in the organization or community. We observe and experience the effects and outcomes of leadership, but merely infer leadership itself. Base help us grasp the actualization of leadership within the organizational context. They report that leadership has been conceived as the focus of group processes, as a personality attribute, as the art of inducing compliance, as an exercise of influence, as a particular kind of activity, as a form of persuasion, as a power relation, as an instrument in the attainment of goals, as an effect of interaction, as a differentiated role, and as the initiation of structure. These all represent aspects of organizational life most everyone has observed and experienced. Note that Base are not suggesting that leadership is alone associated with these organizational aspects. For example, leadership is not the only personality attribute or the only exercise of influence within the organization. Base are suggesting where we might look for leadership, but not what is leadership like about any specific aspect. To pick one aspect as another example, some forms of persuasion are certainly associated with leadership, but others are clearly not. They are instead associated with phenomena such as peer pressure, harassment, financial inducement, and so on. How can we differentiate between leadership and non-leadership within the various aspects of organizational life where leadership sometimes actualizes? Leadership-like outcomes. Before focusing more specifically on outcomes, I raise a cautionary flag here about the perspective of Williams, who suggested that leadership may be wholly irresponsible if its effect is to damage the long-term viability and well-being of the organization, even when the exercise of leadership grows from sincere moral or ethical considerations. My point is that leadership, the organizational dark matter, is neither responsible nor irresponsible, neither good nor bad, but is instead value-free. By this I mean that it has no value position whatsoever. Values are associated with the consequences and outcomes of leadership, but not with leadership itself. Expanding the point some, outcomes may be expected or not expected, positive or negative, good or evil, but leadership is value-free. Thus the attributes of good and bad may appropriately be attributed to leaders, as judged in relation to the outcomes they achieve. Good leaders get good outcomes and bad leaders get bad outcomes. Highly skilled leaders generally get better outcomes than less skilled leaders. Even so, the quality of an outcome is only partially attributable to the leader. Thus, good leaders sometimes get bad outcomes and skilled leaders sometimes get outcomes less positive than they hoped. Consider this assertion suggested by Walsh, Harvey, Jess. Leadership mobilizes the search for new ways of looking at problems and new ways of harnessing the efforts of colleagues concerned with a problem, and reinforces the search for new knowledge, new perspectives and new learning so that innovative ways of addressing the problem can be found. What is the leadership they posit? Mobilizing and reinforcing imply action, A. Acting on B. I presume the intent is to posit that the actions and behavior of some people mobilize and reinforce the actions and behavior of colleagues in specific and intended ways. Here is the take-home point. The leadership event includes the actions and behavior of the leaders and the actions and behavior of colleagues. The leadership event then results in the hoped-for outcome, if all goes as intended. Bolm and Dill make the point concisely when they point out that leadership produces cooperative effort and the service of purposes embraced by both leader and led. Gardner makes the point from a slightly different perspective, asserting that leadership induces colleagues to pursue objectives held by the leader or shared by the leader and his or her colleagues. From either perspective, leadership actualization requires shared action from both leader and led. It requires the complete leadership event. I think the point is fairly concluded by positing that, although leadership is itself the dark matter of organizational life, leadership-like outcomes require successful conclusion of leadership events. In other words, leadership actualizes as a transactional event that occurs between the leader and his or her colleagues. Leadership events. I trust I have made the point that organizational dark matter exists and pervades every organization, actualizing through leadership events that may be expected or unexpected, wanted or unwanted, good or bad. Some people are acting and behaving so as to get other people to act and behave in ways that benefit the organization, but also in ways that do not. Following the majority convention in the literature, my use of the term leadership will now be limited to those leadership events that benefit the organization, unless otherwise specified. For example, Williams believes that leadership gets colleagues to confront reality and change values, habits, practices, and priorities in order to deal with the real threats or opportunities the organization faces, and leadership gets colleagues to do something that has never been done before. Here, leadership clearly refers to the complete leadership event, with emphasis on the leader's actions and behavior. It is helpful to briefly consider a few types of leadership events that the experts I studied presented as representative of good leadership and as typifying the actions and behavior of good leaders. Influencing colleagues to achieve a common goal. Influencing colleagues toward the achievement of a vision or set of goals. Influencing colleagues in a productive, vision-driven direction through the example, conviction, and character of the leader. Influencing, shaping, and mobilizing action towards articulating or achieving goals and playing a major role in whether and how the organization acquires, evaluates and uses knowledge, and engages in learning to achieve improvements. Integrating the various other roles of the organization and maintaining unity of action in the organization's effort to achieve its goals. Empowering others on their journeys. Modifying the attitudes and behaviors of others in order to meet shared group goals and needs. Anticipating, initiating, and implementing change. Developing the latent capabilities of colleagues over the long term. Liberating colleagues to do what is required of them in the most effective and humane way possible. Roles requirements. Leadership is a pervasive property of all groups, organizations, and communities, the dark matter of collective life. Its presence cannot be directly demonstrated, but is only inferred from the actions and behavior of people, through leadership events. What's more, it requires some congruence between the goals of the leader and those being led. In other words, leadership is not restricted to the influence exerted by someone in a particular position or role. Colleagues are part of the leadership process, too. It is leader identity, leader behavior, follower identity, socio-cultural context, and organizational setting all working together concurrently. It is not a vehicle for individual advancement, but instead is based on a collective orientation and responsibility. It is hard work but mostly involves sharing the task and allowing others to exert their own leadership too. Leadership certainly refers, on the one hand, to a certain kind of position in an organization, a leadership position, and on the other hand to a kind of performance, behaving in a leader-like way. Leader is one of the roles in any established group. Even so, knowing where to look for leadership, a particular position or role, or how to identify it, leader-like behavior, still does not clarify what leadership itself is. Base tells us that leadership is not passive occupancy of a position or acquisition of a role but is a process of originating and maintaining the role structure, the pattern of role relationships. It is a working relationship among members of a group in which the leader acquires status through active participation and demonstration of his or her capacity to carry cooperative tasks to completion. Goldman adds that leadership sets the tone and the agenda. Leadership leaders. How leadership is understood depends on one's frame or focus. Leadership can be divided into two categories, leadership as a role and leadership as a way of being. Base suggests further that leadership is influenced beyond what is due to formal procedures, rules, and regulations. Maxwell expands the point by asserting that leadership is influence in that if one can increase his or her influence with others, he or she can lead more effectively. If the leader is put at center in the frame, he or she is typically seen as special, as having a way of being, whether he or she is leading others or leading his or her own life, and as exhibiting intelligence, trustworthiness, humaneness, courage, and discipline. The leader has a discrete set of personal qualities or traits and the ability to perform a set of complex tasks, but perhaps more so includes being bound together with colleagues by common needs, goals, beliefs, and values. Leadership is much more an art, a belief, a condition of the heart, than a set of things to do, according to Dupree. It is about who you are, how you act, what you do, and how you work with others. It is a commitment to offer one's purposes, gifts, and talents in service to humankind. It begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve first, and that one wants the significant intrinsic rewards such as seeing others blossom, knowing that with its rewards also goes the responsibility to enforce standards of conduct. An unexpected conclusion. Bordas reports that perspectives on leadership are changing from an individualistic, self-centered orientation to a we or other-centered orientation. I think the point is correct, but may not work quite as suggested. In the 1980s, when I previously reviewed the leadership literature, an individualistic perspective was more dominant then, but a we or other-centered orientation was certainly present as well. I think we have seen less of a change from one approach to the other as a gradual and persistent discontinuation of the individualistic approach, because it simply does not work as well. Leadership in today's organizations is a collective effort that is far too complex to be entrusted to a single person or even a few people within a large organization. Perhaps more to the current point, We have learned that leadership cannot be limited to one person or to a few people in a large organization. Leadership is collective whether we want it that way or not. This truth may be what mostly accounts for the change from an individualistic, self-centered orientation to a we or other-centered orientation. It works like this. Leadership is the dark matter of organizations and is thus pervasive throughout the organization. The potential for leadership events is present everywhere and at all times within the organization. The potential to initiate or participate in a leadership event is present in each person within the organization, although some people are more able to initiate and sustain leadership events than others. Along with planned and intentional leadership events, unplanned and spontaneous leadership events can and do happen anywhere in the organization and at any time. Along with the planned and intended leadership events initiated by the organization's identified leaders, numerous other leadership events are playing themselves out, with the number increasing geometrically as the size of the organization increases. Think of those events as ad hoc leadership events. Ad hoc leadership events are ubiquitous within the organization and may be constructive or destructive, related or unrelated to organization goals and purposes, limited to a few people or involving many, known to the formal leadership or unknown, time-limited or ongoing. Within any organization, there is a level of ad hoc leadership chaos that is unavoidable and ongoing. A central challenge of formal leadership is to recognize the chaos and to avoid its becoming destructively counterproductive from an organizational perspective. In relation to formal organization purposes, limiting leadership to the formal leadership and to the goals and purposes of the formal leaders would seem most desirable. Let the designated leaders lead and everyone else fall in line as ready and willing followers. Whether this would be desirable or not is certainly questionable. That notwithstanding, perhaps the most significant finding of contemporary leadership experts is that desirable or not, it simply does not work. Much if not most leadership conversation revolves around why an individualistic, self-centered orientation is bad and a we or other-centered orientation is good. Teams and teamwork are the best leadership strategies for any organization. Putting the earlier point in a different frame, teams and teamwork are not just the best leadership strategy, they are the only leadership strategy available to us. Any leadership strategy that purports to function otherwise is doomed to partial, if not complete failure. Now you know, so there you go.